a short introduction of what we were saying. We're up to paragraph Gimel. Hilchos Schiras HaPoelim, Halacha Beis, Ois Gimel. Rav Nosenthal was discussing the importance of paying a worker on time based on the chapter in Likutei Moharan that speaks about He'oras HaRotzon and what's accomplished, how a person going out to work is going into a level of Abdus, and it's going into a war zone, in a sense, a place of klipos and everything. And then what takes him out and what completes his nefesh is the he'oras harotzon that he receives at the end of it, which comes in the form of the payment that he receives. That payment that he receives, which is his parnosa, that's an inyan of he'oras harotzon. As we quote a different psukim that we had before, poiseach es yodecho umazbi alechol harotzon, that this level called Rotzlein refers to a Heora, a light that comes from Hashem from a very high place. And that's where Parnosa comes from. And we mentioned that this process of going out to work and receiving the payment was a concept of a Yerida Litzorech Aliyah. That was the last paragraph that we discussed. Now we're up to paragraph Gimel. V'zeh b'chinas poyal oichel b'shas malocha. Now you could also understand why the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch says, that a worker who works in a food place, you're required to allow him to eat during his work. A person's cutting apple, harvesting apples, whatever it is. Ki al yidei hu achilo meir harotzon kanal. Because we learned before that at the time of eating, when a person is eating, that's when this he'oras harotzon comes down. We quoted the pasuk le'es ha'oichel gishi haloin, that the time of eating is a time when a person comes close to Hashem. That gishi refers to coming close. V'horotzoin hu hepech ho'avdus, and the madrega of rotzoin is the opposite of slavery. Ki horotzoin mizgale al yidei bechinas malchus v'kanal, because we learned earlier that this he'oras harotzoin comes about through a revelation of malchus, which is the opposite of avdus. Therefore, a worker who has fallen into the status called Avdus, the Torah instructs the person that he's doing the work for that they must allow him to eat during the work, in order to lighten the burden of Avdus. Because through the act of eating during the time that he's working, it's like he's going to receive a shaft of light from this he'oras harotzon while he's in a state of avdus. And that's going to ease the avdus that he finds himself in. Now, naturally, this doesn't mean that a person who's going to work on a job, you know, is going to sit down and have a catered meal or something like that and end up getting no work done or something like that. The type of situation that being spoken about here is a person, let's say, who's harvesting fruit or something like that, and while he's harvesting the fruit, he's allowed to grab an apple and eat it while he's working. You know, the same way we're going to learn short in the next paragraph, Rav Nosenthal brings about not muzzling an animal during its work, lavdil. That the person has to be allowed to take, if he's working mamish with food, he has to be allowed to take a piece of the food also while he's eating in a manner that won't interrupt his work. And the reason being, based on what Rav Nosenthal explained earlier, that work is avdus, and the result of the work, the ticket, which is a yerida, the ticket for that is the parnosa that comes from it, which is he'oras harotzon, which is malchus, which is ashirus, that the money is an union of malchus. That's the ticken for it. And the Torah is showing us that even while the person's in a state of yerida, you want to be able to give him a little bit, a taste of the aliyah light. Just like Rav Nosenthal brings in a different place in the Kutei Halachos, that when a Jew in Chutz Laretz, for example, wants to come to Eretz Yisrael, he wants to be oile to Eretz Yisrael, the question is, how does he get that? He's in Chutz Laretz. Rav Nosenthal mentions that when a person has a deep yearning and desire for Eretz Yisrael, what happens is the mitzvah itself throws out a rope to the person while he's in the yerida, while he's far from the mitzvah, to pull that person into itself. Eretz Yisrael shoots out a beam of light, in a sense, to the person in Chutz Loretz that serves as a rope for him to pull himself into the mitzvah. Here also, we said there's the Yerida and the Aliyah state. The Yerida is while the person's working, where we said earlier, Haschirus Eina Mishtalames Halel B'Soif, that the paycheck, he does not get the paycheck until he finishes the job or he finishes the week, whatever it is. And yet, there is this beam of light that's supposed to be shown to him even while he's working from that place of the paycheck, from that Horas HaRotzim, to sustain him and help him and ease the avdus during the time that he's working. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, "V'zeh b'chinas loisachsoim shor b'dishoi." Now we can be given a deeper understanding of one of the laws in the Torah, which says that while an animal, a cow or an ox, is being used to thresh tvua, grain, you're not allowed to muzzle the animal at that time and prevent it from eating any of the grain. V'zeh b'chinas loisachsoim shor b'dishoi. Ki afilu al habehema. Because the Torah even shows pity on animals. Ki yesh gilgulei neshamois bebehemois v'chayois kiyodua. Because it's known that there are souls of human beings, of Jews, that are reincarnated into animals, domesticated animals and non-domesticated animals. Ukamay shomar ha-Baal Shem Tov Zal, as the Baal Shem Tov once said, Oichlem b'nei Adam, v'shoysem b'nei Adam, v'roichlem al b'nei Adam. People don't realize it, that sometimes when they're eating, they're actually eating people. He thinks he's eating chicken. He doesn't realize that inside that chicken is an neshama, or part of an neshama of a Jew. They eat people, they drink people, and they ride on people, implying that behemois and chayois and even liquids that we drink can have neshamois in them. Because in all of these places are found parts of souls of people. The incredible pity that there is on one of these souls that's fallen to such a low level that it's been reincarnated into an animal, you could imagine what kind of a pity it is, what kind of a painful experience, and what kind of a yerida that is. V'zehu mamish b'chinas masui shelovoin. This is comparable to what we spoke about earlier, how great a pity it is on a Jew who's walking around under the heavy, heavy burden of a sin, carrying that strain of a sin. She'iyav shalish ha-Yisraeli lisol of klal oil kozer. Well, we said earlier that it's impossible for a Jew to be able to handle that overwhelming burden. Because what causes a neshama to come down begilgul, especially if it's being placed into an animal? It's sins. The person did certain sins. The Arizal says, for example, that if a person is violates the laws of eating milk and meat together, note that the Pasuk says in the Chumash, Lo yisevashel gidi b'chalev imoy. Don't cook a goat in the milk of its mother. The word gidi is mentioned three times, I think, in the Chumash over there. The Arizal says that the punishment for a person who eats milk and meat together is that it can result in that person coming back begilgul in a goat. That's one of the reasons why the Torah specifically lists the animal. It could have said just meat. Why does it specify goat? And the Arizal proves it from the word so'ir, different gematriois, that he shows that this is the case. So when we talk about an neshama begilgul in an animal, we're referring to sin. What caused that was sin. So the pain and suffering that the neshama is experiencing in that state is the pain of sin, which resulted in putting it in such a place. This is the result of sins which come to a person as a result of a lack of das. The person didn't act with sense, which means they acted like an animal. They behaved like an animal. An animal is assumed to be lower intellect than what we expect from a human being. kol ha'avoinois he ma'isa behema, because typically all sins are classified as the behavior of an animal without sense. Heder adas, the opposite of das. V'alkein ikur ho'avdus bebehema. Therefore, based on what we spoke about earlier, that what causes a person to go into avdus, the person's sins, right? Rav Nosson Zal says now, this is why the main avdus is usually, the lowest forms of work are usually done with animals. Ki ha-behemo hi b'bechinas avdus, b'chinas heder adas, shemishom bo'em kol avoinos, because an animal represents this lack of das, this the opposite of das, which is the concept of sin. U'kishe'ish Yisraeli noifel b'avoinos chas v'shalom, and when a Jew falls into sins, shehem b'chinas ma'isa behemo, which means he's conducting himself like an animal, zehu masa koved ma'oid, that's a tremendous, tremendous, overwhelming burden for the Jewish neshama. And it's a tremendous pity on such a Jew that's fallen to such a level. How much more so? When a Jew accumulates enough sins to cause Hashem to take his neshama and put it into an animal, Zehu Rachmonus Gotel Beyoiser. What greater pity can there be than the pity on such a neshama? V'zehu b'chinas loisach soim shor b'dishoy. This is why the pasuk says that a Jew is not allowed to muzzle an animal while the animal is working with food. Lahaniach loy lechol b'shas malocha. That the Jew is required to allow the animal to eat while it's working. Shehu b'chinas avdus. The work is a concept of avdus. Kedei lohoyer al hanefesh hamegulgol b'behema. The reason for allowing the animal to eat is because we said eating is a time of he'oras harotzoim. This animal, which is working, it's in a state of malacha, avdus, and you, on the outside you see just an animal. You don't have x-ray vision to see that inside there is a Jewish worker, a neshama, that's been lowered to such a level where it's got to work inside the body of an animal. And it's in this super avdus, we want to shine some of that light, that he'ora sarotzoim, to that neshama. And the he'ora sarotzoim comes when a person eats. Le'ei so'echel gishi. Ki me'acha she'horotzoim me'er b'shas achila. Because of the fact that Rabbi Nizal shows in that chapter in Likutei Moharan that the time when a Jew receives this bright light called he'ora sarotzoim is specifically at the time of eating, Al kein yucha lehishtal shel eze bechina shelor sarotzoin afilu ala nefesh hamagugol bebehema b'shas achiloso. Therefore, it's possible for a small amount of this heor sarotzoin to be shown down from way, way above, even to the nefesh of that Jew that's megugol within this behema. V'ze bechinas loisach soim shor b'dishoi. Now watch this. Now Rav Nosson Zal puts a cherry on top. In the Zohar HaKadosh, and in the Zohar HaKadosh especially, there's a place in Parshas Mishpatim where it discusses the topic of Gilgal in at great length. In fact, when the Zohar HaKadosh begins Parshas Mishpatim, it begins by saying, now we're going to discuss the Soid HaGilgal, the secret, all secrets about reincarnation. And the Zohar HaKadosh says over there that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's students met a particular old man, he's called a Sovo Kadisha, and they engaged in a conversation with him, and he's the one who gave them a whole major shiur on this topic of Gilgulim, reincarnation, and that's one of the major places in the Zohar HaKadosh where it's discussed. The way that he introduces the topic is he starts off talking about the topic of Yibum, that there's a law in the Torah that if there are two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and one of them, Reuven, marries a woman, and he lives with her for a certain period of time, and he doesn't get to bring children into the world with her, and then Reuven dies without having had any children, there's a mitzvah on Shimon, his brother, to marry Reuven's wife. This is talking about during those days when a person was allowed to have more than one wife. So besides Shimon's own wife, he has an obligation to take Reuven's wife and marry her, and try to bring children into the world from her, and the Torah says, Lohokim Shem Lo'ochiv, in order to establish a name for his brother. This Sova Kadisha started explaining to them that what this means is that a child that's produced when Shimon, brother Shimon, marries Reuven's wife, the child that's produced is actually Reuven, the father coming back into this world, the Gilgul. And from that, this Sova Kadisha goes into a whole major, major explanation on this whole topic of Gilgul, which the Zohar Kodesh speaks about, and the Arizal elaborates much more. He has a whole volume explaining this. So now, Rav Nosson Zal says, let me show you something interesting. If you look in the Chumash, these two laws are put side by side. The law of not being permitted to put a muzzle on an animal while it's eating, and the next sentence in the Chumash speaks about two brothers, and one dies without children, the other brother has to marry his wife and have children. Why? Why are these two topics put side by side? V'ze b'chinas loisachsoim shor b'dishoi, v'somechlei ki yeshvu achim yachtov. The Torah writes about not muzzling an animal while it's working, and about two brothers living together, and one dies without children, his other brother has to marry his wife. Those two topics are written side by side in the Torah. Ki ikr soid gilgulei hanefoshois merumos b'mitzvas yibum. Because the main secret of the whole topic of reincarnation is based on this mitzvah of yibum in the Chumash. Kimuva, as is brought in the Zohar Kodesh, in Mishpotim, and in other places, and as Rabbi Nezal brings in a chapter in Likutei Moran, Torah Chof Aleph, where Rabbi Nezal there talks about Ruach HaKodesh and other things, and there's one piece where he quotes about with Miriam, that it says that she got contracted leprosy, and it said that even, it says over the Tikolim Shivas Yomim, V'yechal chatzi b'soroi. Exactly. A whole discussion in chapter 21 of Likud Imran. Kemuvaz is brought. V'zeh shehismicha Torah mitzvah yibum l'posek loisachsoim. Rav Nosson Zal says, now I'm going to tell you a reason why the Torah puts these two things together. Shemitzvah zu shaloisachsoim hi b'shvil hanefoshois hamigulgolim. Because this mitzvah of not muzzling the animal while it's eating is related to that topic of Gilgul. It's because of the fact that it's very likely that there's a neshama that's megulgul in that animal. And we want to shine to that neshama some of this seora sarotzoin. That's why he's supposed to let the animal eat. Shehu b'chinas yom kippur, slicha savoinois. We mentioned earlier that this he'ora sarotzoin was synonymous with forgiveness for sins, yom kippur. We spoke about it previous pages. Kedei lenakoisam b'chinas savoinois kanal. In order to cleanse the neshamois from any sins. That yom kippur forgives for sins, or slicha savoinois forgives for sins. He'ora sarotzoin is another version of Yom Kippur. It's also Keser. Heros HaRotzon comes from Keser, and the forgiveness, the ability of Hashem to forgive on Yom Kippur also comes from Keser. We mentioned that the word Titoru is Bigimatria Keser. V'zeh Shom Razal Shialfinon Shor Deloy Sachson Mishor De Shabbos. This is why the Gemara says that we learn out the Shor, when it says in the Chumash about not muzzling an ox, we learn it out from the word shor that's written by laws of Shabbos, that you're not allowed to allow your ox to work on Shabbos. That just like by Shabbos, it doesn't mean only your ox, it means any animal that you own. So too, when it talks about loisachsoim, it means any animal. But note, the Gemara makes a connection between the shor of loisachsoim and the shor of Shabbos. Ki Shabbos hu heoras harotzon kiyadua. Because the light of Shabbos represents this Heora Sarotzon, this very high level light. V'alkein mitzvah gedoilo lechel b'Shabbos. This is why the Torah makes the point of saying that it's so great, it's a mitzvah, major mitzvah to eat on Shabbos. U'laharbois b'achilas Shabbos, to eat more than you eat during the week on Shabbos. Kedei lizkois leheora sarotzon b'shas achilas Shabbos kanal. Because on Shabbos, there's a double Heora Sarotzoim. Usually when a person eats, he can be Zoche Heora Sarotzoim. On Shabbos, Shabbos itself is Heora Sarotzoim. So the person's receiving a double package of Heora Sarotzoim. Va'oz b'Shabbos, we say on Shabbos, Bi'ahavo uverotzoin henchilono, right? Chemdas yom emoise koroso, voi rotziso vekidashtoi. Many words talking about Shabbos, showing that Shabbos represents this level of holiness that's called rotzoin. So he says, that's why on Shabbos it's especially a mitzvah to eat, because while you're eating is when you draw down this Haros HaRotzoin. Oz Mizbatel Hu Avdus Legamri. And we said that this Rotzoin is the opposite of Avdus. The Alkein Osur Bishum Malocha. It's for this reason that work is completely forbidden on Shabbos. Ki Oz Nichna Legamri Bechinas Avdus Bechinas Ruach Shtus. Venizgala bechinas das, bechinas soros ben v'talmid, bechinas ayim ekon kevoidoi melech lorotz kevoidoi. Because on Shabbos is when avdus is eliminated completely, and v'zeche to super rotzoin, horas harotzoin, which is synonymous with das, a high level of das, which Rabbi Nizal explains in that chapter in the Kutimran, that the das comes in two formats, ben and talmid. Aye mekoyim kevoidoi and meloy choloritz kevoidoi, teaching those people that are very, very learned that they haven't even begin to know anything about Hashem. That's aye mekoyim kevoidoi, which is what the angels are taught, and meloy choloritz kevoidoi is teaching those people that are on the lowest level that they think they're super far from Hashem, teaching them that Hashem is everywhere. Meloy cholor, He's everywhere, even on the low level that you're on, He's right there with you. Sho'imrim b'Shabbos shneim yachad b'kedusha shel musaf, kedushas keser. Note, when we say the paragraph called keser on Shabbos at musaf, that's when we mention both of these things. Ayim ekon kevoidoi and meloy choretz kevoidoi. Vo'oz oile hamalchus b'chinas Shabbos malkaso u'mekabel hu achilo v'aparnoso. And that's when the malchus rises up to a very high level and receives this light of Parnosa from the Keser, from the highest, highest place of Kedusha. Kimi Shabbos Nimshach HaShefa Al Kol Sheshes Meachoel. Because we know Shabbos is called the Mekoyer HaBrocha, it's the source of Shefa for all 6 days of the week. Vooz Mizgale Horas HaRotzoin Bachilo Kanal. And that's when a person can receive the brightest light of Horas HaRotzoin during the time of eating. The Alkein Oz b'Shabbos Hizhira Torah Filo Al Shvisas Avdoi Behemtoi. This is why the Torah instructs us on Shabbos that even your servants, even your animals, are not allowed to do work. K'may Shekosov L'man Yonuach Shorcho V'Chamorecho V'Inofesh Ben Amosecho. Even your servants, maidservants, shouldn't work on Shabbos. K'day L'Hachnia B'Chinas Avdus B'Sharoshoi. Because we want to subdue the avdus in its origin, from its highest place. Ki afilu ho'eved v'abehema, shu gamkein b'chinas avdus kanal, tzrichem gamkein lishbois b'shabbos. Even an actual slave, or an animal, where you would say, this thing is supposed to work, if there's anything on earth that where it's normal for it to work, it's these, even by them we shut down their work on Shabbos, to show that we're being machnia the concept of avdus completely. Nimtza, shenichna ha'avdus afilu etzelevet v'abehema. V'alkei nichna ha'avdus b'sharoshoi. That's how it shows that we're being machnia this item called avdus in its roots, in its, you know, from its place of origin. V'alidei ha'shviso nimshach afilu aleihem hishtalshulus b'china soros ha'rotzoim. And as a result of a Jew seeing to it that his servants rest, his non-Jewish servants rest on Shabbos, and even his animals rest on Shabbos, he's able to draw even to them part of this He'oras HaRotzoin. V'zehu leman yonuach shorcho v'chamorcho v'yinofesh ben amosecho v'habchoir. It says so that they should rest v'yinofesh, and they will receive, their nefesh will receive something. And we said earlier that nefesh means rotzoin. Im yeshes nafshechem, Avram said, if you want to let me bury sorrow here. Ki tzorech sheyum shachaleim gamkein b'chinas menucho u'shvisa, shebchinas horas harotzoin. Because the person, a Jew, has a mission to draw even to his avotim, even to his behemois, some of this horas harotzoin, some of this vayinofash. This is why the Gemara says that we learn out the definition of ox when it comes to muzzling your animal from the ox of Shabbos. Ki iser loy sachsoim hu gam kein b'shvil b'chinas horas harotsoim. Because for the same reason that an ox is not allowed to do work on Shabbos, is the same reason not to muzzle the ox during the week when it's working with food. Shizel b'chinas shvisas behema b'shabbos. Because a Jew is supposed to even draw on his animals this Teora Sarotzoin in order to clean off and to improve those souls that are reincarnated in these behemois, Mibchinas Behemius, to remove from them the behemius, the animalistic trends. Mibchinas avdus, mibchinas avoinois, to remove from them behemius avdus sins, lahaloisam lamadregosam, and to restore them to their original level, alidei heora sarotzoin, through the act of heora sarotzoin, shehu bechinas yom kippurim, which is the concept of Yom Kippur. Just for 1 second, because a person will look at this and say, hey, contradiction here. You're telling me Yom Kippur is heora sarotzoin? Yom Kippur is Keser, which is called He'oras HaRotzoim. And you're telling me that Shabbos is Horas HaRotzoim. It seems that on both of them you have opposite mitzvahs. On Yom Kippur there's a mitzvah, the mitzvah is not to eat, to fast. And on Shabbos the mitzvah is to eat. Make up your mind, which is it? There's a chapter in Likut Imran where Rabbeinu Zal discusses this very, very thoroughly. And he quotes from the Zohar HaKadosh, how the Zohar HaKadosh shows that there's one of the things that takes a person's willpower and desire and bends it completely towards Hashem is fasting. That's the wording that the Zohar HaKadosh uses. That there's nothing in the world that can take a person's own desire and willpower and reshape it and rearrange it and point it towards Hashem, where the person should only want what Hashem wants, like fasting. And the Zohar HaKadosh proves it from Pesukim. Rabbeinu Zal says that as much as fasting is a very high madrega, and fasting accomplishes certain things, because, for example, there's a pasuk which says, V'chatoisi miponov tzorov, I will slice away from before the Jews their enemies. And the first letters of V'chatoisi miponov tzorov spell the word tzoim, fasting. Rabbeinu Zal says that when a Jew eats on Shabbos, it's equal to and surpasses the benefits of fasting. Because we have another pasuk that says, Lahashbis oyev umisnakim, to annihilate, wipe out one's enemies and avengers. So Rabbeinu Zal in Likut Imran shows how fasting is an inyan of Heoras HaRotzoin, of which Yom Kippur is the pinnacle of it. And at the same time, Achilas Shabbos is equal to fasting, or in certain ways surpasses Shabbos, because it rings the same doorbell. Both of these are pipes to this He'oras HaRotzoin, this super high way, and this high place. And there's two ways of accessing it. One way is through fasting, another way is Achila Digdusha. Both of them plug into that same super high source. V'zeh b'chinas shmito v'yoyvel. Rav Nosson says, with this we could also understand the concept of Shemitah and Yovel, where Hashem tells us to close down all work. No work allowed in the fields, nothing. Everybody has to come to a complete rest. Shehem Bechinas Shabbos. They're similar in concept to Shabbos. Kamo Shekosuv, Vohoiso Shabbos Ho'oretz Lochem Lochlo. The Torah calls Shemitah Shabbos. Bechinas Heoras HaRotzoin Kral, which means it represents a Heoras HaRotzoin. Just like Shabbos is super Heoras HaRotzoin, Shemitah is also. Shemispashet Heoras HaRotzoin Kolkach at She'ein Echot Makbid Letzamtzim B'Sheloi. What is Heoras HaRotzoin? Here Rav Nosson Zal is defining it a little bit for us. Normally, each person has their own desires. Each person has their own needs and desires and their own boundaries. where this is my house, my garden, I need my space. And if you infringe on my space, on my house, you know, then we become enemies, that kind of thing. And each person has their own ratzon. This person wanted this house, the house with the red awning, and this person wanted the house with the green awning. That's why he bought this one and he bought that one. Because people have different ratzonos. However, what Yiddishkeit is all about is a Jew trying to negate his own personal ratzon and plug into the ratzon of Hashem, which is the epitome of oneness, the unity of Hashem, which is where people don't have different desires, but rather everybody coming to a level of peace and unity where we're all focused on one desire. What is that? The desire of Hashem, the ratzon of Hashem, period. That's called Heoras HaRatzon. Rav Nosson Zal says that the law of Shemitah is what really shows that, because on Shemitah, all barriers, all walls are taken down. My field is your field is my field. We all become one, we're all plugging into this Ratzon of Hashem itself, and there's no more what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Va'oz ha-mitzvah lo-haniach afilu le-behemois lechol tvuas ha-sodeh. And on Shemitah, the law is, the mitzvah is, to even allow the animals to eat freely, not to prevent them from eating anything they want in the field. Anything they want. Because again, Rabbeinu Zal says in that chapter in the Likut Imran, that the way, that the main way that a person connects to this Horas HaRotzoin is through Achila. V'zeh shom razalin in shvisas behemo, tein loy naich, sheyie toilei shvoichel. That's why the Torah, when the Torah speaks about an animal not working on Shabbos, it says, give the animal rest so that it should be able to tear and eat. You know, it should be able to eat. The Torah makes the connection that the concept of resting, which means non-avdus, being taken out of slavery, is a concept of eating. They're both to plug into He'oras HaRotzon, which comes bedafka through eating. Hainu kanal, as we said earlier, ki al yidei ho'achilo mizgale He'oras HaRotzon kanal, because it's through eating that a person is able to have revealed to them this He'oras HaRotzon, this super bright light from Hashem, and this intense desire to want only what Hashem wants. Vafilu bebehema, and even when it comes to animals, afo pi she'ein shayach shom He'oras HaRotzon mamish, even though you would say that it's impossible to say that the behema is going to have Heoras HaRotzon, you know, behema is going to want to serve Hashem. It seems like you can't really apply that term, you know, simply to an animal. Afal pikein, me'achar shemizgale Heoras HaRotzon b'shas achila. Once Rabbeinu Zal teaches us in Likutei Moran that the time of eating is a time when this Heoras HaRotzon shines, al kein afilu bebehema, then it's possible that even on the lowest of levels, even by an animal, that at the time the animal is eating, it should be able to receive an infinitesimal measure of this Horas HaRotzon. The main place where that's going to have effect is on the soul of a Jew that's reincarnated into that animal. Shehu Odom Mamish, which is an actual person. She'olov Meir He'oras HaRotzon Kedei L'Nakoyse La'Loyse Kanal. Where it's upon him that this He'oras HaRotzon is shining in order to cleanse him and elevate him. Boruch Hashem Li'olam Omein V'Omein. Rav Nosson Zal adds one short note. V'yalkein B'Shmita V'Yovel Oso La'Avoid Shum Avoida Basoda. And it's for this reason that when it comes to a Shemitah year or a Yovel year, a Jew is not allowed to do any work in the field. Planting, plowing, midoraisa, and all other types of maintenance, midorabonon. Ki oz mizbatel ho'avdus legamri. Because on Shemitah, on Yovel, on Shabbos, avdus goes out the window completely, gets eliminated completely. Ki heim bechinas Shabbos. Shemitah and Yovel represent Shabbos, Bechinas he'oras harotzon, which represents soras harotzon, which is the opposite of avdus. Now here, if you review this halacha, Rav Nosson Zal has given definitions, that he's clarified certain terms which are used in Likut Imran, which are a little bit vague, they're a little bit spiritual, he'oras harotzon, and other things, and Rav Nosson Zal brought it down a little bit more clearly to show us examples of it, and to show us how this works in our own daily life, and how this explains, a person would ask, religion tells you how to deal with animals? You mean the animals religious too? The animals that too? You have a charedi animals too and conservative? And the answer is, it depends what level of insight you have. If a person understands that when they're looking at an animal, they're only seeing it on the surface. Or if a person looks at a human being, they're only looking at the surface. Sometimes you have an animal that's a human being inside, and sometimes you have a human being that's an animal inside. You have both. You have two-legged animals, and you have four-legged people, tzaddikim, neshamos, high-level neshamos, who in certain cases had to go fall to such a level of yerida, in a sense. The symbolism of this in Yonah, being swallowed up by the whale, the concept of a neshama being, the Zohar Kodesh has a whole discussion comparing Yonah being swallowed up by the whale to a neshama being sent down into the world, into a body. And it shows the direct correspondence between everything that happens to Yonah and what happens to a child as it's growing up, etc. The whole thing. So that again, things aren't what they seem to be on the surface always. And the animal of a Jew, the Gemara tells of the animal of one of the rabbis, where he sold the animal to a goy, and the animal wouldn't work. The animal understood? The answer is, depending on what level of das, depending on what type of neshama is in that animal, that's what could determine it. In fact, Rabbi Rosenfeld once told us that there's a place where the Arizal shows how a person could tell if there's a neshama in the animal or not, if there's a gilgal in there or not. Certain words to say, a certain thing, where a person can cause a reaction, a response, if there is a neshama in there. So these are facts, and it's a matter of knowing how the mitzvahs in the Torah that we're taught, a mitzvah like this of Leisachsim Sher B'dishoy, the Torah is showing us how to participate in bringing about a tikkun for the neshama that's found inside that animal. How? That while the animal is working, which is obviously part of the tikkun of that neshama, where this neshama is falling to the lowest possible state of avdus, it's not a person having to go out to work in a suit and tie. It's the person having to go out to work in the body of an animal and be treated in the lowest form, and yet we're looking to give a tikkun there. We're looking to allow the animal to eat during the avdus, because that's going to shine in a little ray of this heiros harotzon, which is going to help elevate it from avdus, to more of a degree of a tikkun, a base physical desire. Then there's a next level where the person is not in control of himself. He'll eat more than he needs till he gets a stomach ache from it or gets sick from it. Or he'll eat foods which he knows clearly are unhealthy, fatty meats and other things like that, where the person sees to a certain degree that it causes indigestion, it causes all kinds of, and yet they'll go ahead and eat it anyway because they like it. And the desire for the food is stronger than the self-respect or the desire to do what they themselves perceive to be right. So that's a certain level. Then there's the level of a person rising to become a person, to become in charge of himself, in control of himself, not just to avoid eating fatty meats, but even when there's something healthy in front of him, where he has the right, and it's permissive, it's kosher, and he has the right to eat it, he shows that he has risen to such a level of control that he can abstain from it. He can say no, even though my body wants it. Looks so it is a, I don't want, and my desire, my control over my desire is superior to that, desire, just letting that desire run free and take whatever it wants, that kind of thing. That's a second level. And Rabbeinu Zal says the third madrega is called achila dikdusha, where a person is eating, and yet they're being selective, perfectly selective in what they eat and don't eat, and I'm going to eat exactly this much, and I don't care how much is in my plate or what, I know exactly where to draw the line, and I won't go and drop past what I know I need. That, even on a physical level, that's harder. It's harder, and And Baruchnius also, that's a higher darga of Kedusha. So that when the Gemara says that when a person fasting, he's rising to the level of Malachim, then a person who eats Achila de Kedusha rises to that plus. As Rabbi Nizal explains in about 10, 15 chapters in the Likutei Moharan, he has a tremendous amount of discussion explaining and clarifying this issue of Achila de Kedusha and how it works and how it achieves incredible.
When the behemoth eats, we also say it also gets the
Heoros HaRotzon.
Isn't that eating on that lowest level? Isn't that Achila de
Kedusha? The answer is, but the behemoth can't do any better than that. And it's eating on the highest level that it's expected to be eating. That's the point. Just as we know on a physical level, we know that in order to live, a person needs to eat. If they don't eat, they'll die. So that eating gives life, physically. Baruchni is also eating gives life. On condition that you're not eating what you're not allowed, just like physically, there are things that you could eat. You could eat sand or other stuff, which you know won't give life. It'll kill you. So, just like when it comes to physical eating, certain things are helping you and certain things are harming you, so to Baruchnius, what a person is eating, and depending on the timing of when they're eating it, has bearing on how constructive or destructive it is for them. Rav Nosson Zal is showing us in this halacha, Mikutei Halachos, that when a behema is eating, it's an important thing. Otherwise, the Torah wouldn't say that your animal has to eat before you do. When it says, you know, in Kriya Shema, give the animal teeth and then you... Why? Of what significance is it to Hashem where the animal eats or doesn't eat? And you're going to tell me there's a significance where the animal eats first or last? Based on this, you're understanding that you're not dealing with animal alone. When you see an animal, it's very likely that you're dealing with a nefesh inside there. Oh, nefesh? Now there's tikkunin. Now here again, then hold on a second, then could it be that it's a bigger mitzvah to feed my cow glatt kosher meat, have a choice of feeding him glatt meat, or food that's been meistered or not meistered, you know, would it make a difference? The answer is the Torah tells us what he's allowed to eat and what he's allowed, you know, there's different requirements for different levels. We see again by Rav Pinchas ben Yoyah that they tried to feed his animal food that hadn't been meistered, animal rejected it. Why? Because his animal was a certain very, very high level. It's brought, if I recall correctly, that according to one opinion, according to the Zohar Kodesh, the Arizal, the donkey of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer was a gilgal of Eliezer Eved Avraham. And he shows the connection between Avraham Avinu and Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer, certain connection between them, Pidyon Shvuyim, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer was also calling Pidyon Shvuyim, Avraham Avinu rescued Lot. And that donkey was the Gilgal of Eliezer, and it shows why he had to come back to Gilgal as a Chamor. It's a whole discussion in Zohar Kodesh. Last week's Parsha, that's why I mentioned it. Baruch Hashem.